We are the Bride Radio as the voice of the true bride of Christ.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power, experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism. Check out her website at www.eastgateministries.com.
Figure it out, okay? What I'm trying to discern it, but then I discerned that the chatter around the government gathering, which was around the inauguration, had to do with the oil that's in the Permian Basin, the oil fine, 45 years and us, that we can be totally energy independent for 45 years. Around the Permian oil basin and New Mexico.
Oil fine ever in America. This is the largest oil fine ever in America.
And we'll make us energy independent. And Chris spoke up. And Chris, would you say again what you said and just give us just a little more, he works in the oil industry and he spoke up immediately.
Basically that I know that there are companies that are investing almost like half of their new production oil, you know, production facilities are targeted in that area, like globally, you know.
Developments
globally, half of it's like going to be focused there for some time.
Okay. When I was praying about it, and Joanne and I were praying together, I said they're going to be coming in here from all over the world, and that's what's going on at this inauguration. And they're literally coming in here from all over the world about this. And that was the chatter I was picking up in the realm of spirit.
And this is in Texas?
Permian Basin, Midland, that area.
West Texas and a little bit in New Mexico. But it's also trillions of feet of natural gas. Y'all was
in addition to the oil. Okay, but that's what I picked up in the spirit. Thank you, Chris, for that insight. Because, see, I don't know that in the natural, because I'm not in that industry anymore.
Something else that came to mind while we were talking is, like, this is why all of these migrants, it's like, because America is blessed and we have all these rich resources, they feel like then we have so much, they're entitled to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's what I discern over the... And the only thing, I'm going to talk about something else here. The only thing I discerned that was over the inauguration was oil. Oil. That was the only thing I'm talking about the dignitaries or the elite or the wealth or the money people who were there. And I was joking with Alan. I said the black hat, the black string ties, and the cowboy boots. Okay, but my message today is the decree of kings. So Joanne and Sonia and I went to Austin, and on our return trip from Austin, this is what I'm going to talk to y'all about in my sermon. I was sitting in the back, and I happened to remember a word the Lord spoke to me. We were in a little white church praying, because, you know, we prayed for years and years back there on Wednesday night. Lord gave us a mandate to do it. We haven't stopped. We're still praying on Wednesday night. How many years we've been praying together? Sandra knows. 15 years we've been praying together.
Wow.
Yeah. Thankful, you know. But anyway, one of the messages the Lord gave, and I believe it was toward the end of George Bush's 8 years in office. I don't have the exact date, I don't have the exact words, but I know what he said, and I had witnesses, and they're still here. He said, because the word came out by my spirit. He says, Carolyn, I chose George W. Bush to secure the border. And I mentioned this at Friday prayer at Phyllis's, and she says, I knew that God chose George W. Bush. But the Lord said to me, he says, I chose George W. Bush to secure the border. That was to be his first priority in office. He failed to do so.
He sure did.
Now, this is serious business.
Yes.
This is serious business that we're talking about here today. So the thought came to me, and I was considering this, and I'm sure it was the Spirit of the Lord that brought it to me, because it sure wasn't on my mind. This is a mandate and a command. If this was a command for our nation from the Lord. George W. Bush was given a command, authority, and an anointing to secure the border. In the Old Testament, when God gave his kings who were in the a command, they also had the power and the anointing to carry out his command.
Yes.
And we see all through the Bible, well, this king did what God said, that king didn't. And then trouble came upon Israel because the kings did not do what God told them to do. This is a serious thing I'm talking about here today.
Yes.
So this is my considering, and I believe it was the considering of the Holy Spirit, that we are not to pray as intercessors about this situation. Crying out to the Lord, to God, come down here and move by your sovereign spirit and get all this pushed out of the way to build this wall. You know why? Because he has commanded it to be so.
Oh,
we declare it.
It's a big difference.
Yes.
We are to speak and decree.
Yes.
From the realm of the Lord's authority. And see, that's what President Trump did when he was running for office. He declared what God said. Now, I doubt he knew anything he was doing. He might know what he's doing, but I doubt he did.
I doubt it.
But you know, God controls the minds of kings like he controls the rivers, okay?
That's right.
Yes.
So when you pray for them, pray that God will give them dreams and they'll control their minds.
Yes.
Okay, so we are to decree from the realm of the Lord's authority that he has commanded.
Amen.
I said the Lord has commanded the border to be secured.
Yes.
He has commanded it to be so.
Hallelujah.
But this king and that king and the other king didn't do it.
That's right.
Because it was not politically expedient, they thought, to do so because of the pressure that they would get from the liberal left. Okay, so we are to come into agreement with the command of heaven. I want to come into agreement with the command of heaven.
Yes.
I do not want to be out of agreement with the command of heaven.
That's right.
And the authority heaven gave to the office of the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief of the nation. It's noteworthy that I want to make a note before I go on here. It's very important that Dan Patrick, and I have witnesses in here, made a decree in his inauguration speech. He decreed Texas will appropriate the money from our reserve to secure the Texas border.
Yes.
Am I right, Jeannie? He said that. He said, we have enough money in our reserve to do it.
Amen.
Now, this has to be approved by the Texas Congress.
Right.
We don't know how much flack he's going to run into with the federal government because they actually control the border, not the state.
Right. That's right.
But he decreed it. He says, we are going to present a bill or whatever it is they do to take the money out of our reserve and build the fence. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He decreed it. He's lieutenant governor of the state of Texas. He has the authority to decree it.
Yes.
The budget.
Yeah, they control the budget.
And they can reinforce sheriffs and county officials in along the border.
And we have been. We've been buying tanks and all kinds of equipment.
Okay. That's what he said. Okay. And he said we're going to build a wall.
Praise God.
That's what he said. Out of our reserve money. Now, they don't have it approved yet. I think what they got, 128 days?
126
days.
125
come in. Yeah. So, I suppose there will be resistance. Would you not think that there will be some forces come in to resist this? Our complications? With either the federal government or the Texas Congress or the liberal wing of the Texas Congress. So I guess we better pray about that. Kings, presidents, governors, and the church have the anointing, authority, and power to declare and decree in the spirit.
Yes.
Things happen when we exercise this authority under the anointing of God. The Holy Spirit and angelic realm recognizes and responds to true spiritual authority and anointing. And it's always in the Word of God and in God's will and in God's timing. That's why we are to discern. That's why the church is supposed to know the signs and see the signs of the times. Remember in December, I preached this message that during this time and this season, you have got to know the signs of the times.
Yes.
Okay, if we do not know the signs of the times and what God is revealing to us that he is doing, then we cannot come into agreement and take the authority and decree and declare what God is doing on the earth. Job 22:28. You will also declare or decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your way. That also means that which is evil. An evil king can decree and declare a thing and cause it to come to pass. Look at the laws that were changed. The spirit of Antichrist is going to try to change the laws and the seasons. The spirit of Antichrist will come in government roles, and they will decree and declare a thing, and they will change the laws, and they will even try to change the seasons. Thus, you have got global warming, and they're trying to do it through global warming. Matthew 8:8-10. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, but surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Okay, so when God speaks and gives you a command, Chris, in your faith, you're going to have to act on that command.
Yes. Yes.
You can't say, well, I need to go get 10 more prophetic words to confirm this.
No. That's right.
Let me run to 10 different meetings and see if I can get someone. That word didn't really agree with what I want to do. You know, God, I was praying this way, and I was asking you to do this, and your command came to me, and that's going to be a lot of trouble. And that's not going to be easy to do. I'm going to go get somebody else to prophesy to me, and maybe they will tell me what I want to hear.
You can count on it.
It will be uncomfortable, and it will cost you.
Yes.
Or it did not come from God. Not to say that he's going to bless you and give you things easy.
That's right.
Because I'm blessed. And life is good. I mean, but I'm talking about kingdom warfare.
Yes.
Kingdom work. Where you're actually going into the camp of the enemy and take back what he stole from you.
Yes.
Where you actually go into the government of your nation and decree and declare what God says and take back what the devil has done. The devil has torn up your nation. It's torn up. We're in a mess. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. This is a prophet. You don't want a prophet to tell you you've done foolishly. I know you're going to be looking for another word besides that one. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. Do you know George W. Bush?
Woo.
You have not kept the command that the Lord he commanded you.
Yeah.
Now I'll let George W. Bush bring him into office. This is serious business. I told you this is serious business. I've talked about this morning. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, commander-in-chief. Where do we get the word commander-in-chief? From the Holy Bible, and that which God gave to the person that he set over his nation, commander-in-chief. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now this is serious for you. What has the Lord commanded you to do? What has the Lord commanded you to do? You're going to be held accountable for it. You say, well, that wasn't really what I had in mind. Better get it done, I tell you. This is under the government of the throne of God that a king, priest, governor, church does what the Lord commands. But let me tell you, if you'll do it, at whatever cost it'll cost you, if you will do it, you will come into a wider, bigger, greater, more awesome place in God that you could ever think of or make up in your little mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you will just do what he says. God made David a commander over his people. Kings and presidents are commanders in chief under God. Under God. In some measure, they have the power and authority to command and order things to be done. There will be times, provided the judgment is right and needed urgently. Would you say that we need someone to take control of this nation right now?
Yes. Yes.
When kings, presidents, governors will need to command and decree instead of wasting hours, days, weeks, and even months trying to debate and seek consensus of every insignificant policy. So who am I preaching to right now?
Wow.
I'm preaching to the President of the United States.
Amen.
To go ahead and declare a national emergency, to take authority over this situation and put an end to Congress boycotting and shutting down. Take authority and take your losses. Cut bait and swim. Sometimes you gotta cut bait and swim. When you gotta make a decision, well, usually, I'd say it this way. When God calls you to do something, you're gonna have to cut bait and swim. The person who's obligated to explain everything to the media, oh, I didn't write media in there. I said to everyone. Every time is not operating under a kingly authority. There are times when hesitation, indecisiveness, and failure to exert one's authority will result in major losses and defeat for a nation. Therefore, there will be times when a king, priest, governor has to act decisively and swiftly. I loved it this week when he shut down Nancy Pelosi's chair. When we were at Phyllis' prayer meeting, Carolyn Warder was there, and she had seen a net fall over the bus, had Adam Schiff on it. You know, he was telling, she saw Annette, and she read the scripture where you will, when you do evil and wickedness, you will be caught in
yes.
My net. Psalm 72, I would like to just go over the whole Psalm 72 today, because that is the psalm, the anointing for a king, but I just got a little of it, because I got other places to go. Oh God, make the king a godly judge like you.
Yes.
Yeah, you should be praying Psalm 72 over your president and over your governor and over your leaders every day. Help him to give true justice to your people, honorably and equal to all. Verse 8, may he subdue and take dominion from sea to sea, and may he rule from the river to the rim. Verse 10, distant kings will surrender and come with their gifts from every continent and coastland. They will offer their tribute to you. In the Old Testament, nations paid tribute to stronger nations to keep them from attacking them.
That's right.
In the 20th and 21st century, and maybe back to the 19th century, the United States of America has been paying tribute to other nations to help to get them to act right. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
They're supposed to pay tribute to us.
That's right.
And I think Trump is saying, hey, if we send our army over there to help you, you're going to have to pay us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this entire mentality.
Okay, moving on. Lord help me. I'm sure God gave this to me last night.
Yes.
The word for dominion is Rabbah. It means to tread down, to subjugate, to subdue, to rule, to prevail against, to reign, and to take possession. The spirit of dominion is the most powerful anointing to operate through a servant of God. It is the manifestation of the kingly anointing, the authority and power to rule in the spirit realm. It is anointing that prevails. After King David received the divine covenant, land, and the kingly anointing, he expanded his kingdom in all directions, conquering lands that the Joshua generation failed to possess. Y'all read the book of Joshua. God told Joshua to go in and take it all, and I mean Joshua was a man of God. I'm talking to you, he was a man, it's man, a mighty man of God. And he did incredible things for God. That was awesome. But at the last, God says, Joshua, you have waxed old.
Yeah.
And you didn't finish what I told you to do. Mm-hmm. So now I want you to just separate this land and we're going to have to do something else. I don't want to get to that point where he says, Carolyn, you have waxed old. And you haven't done what I told you to do.
Lord, now I'm stricken with age.
Stricken with age.
You can do it.
Jenny sent this out. Clint Eastwood gave the song to who?
Somebody.
Yeah.
Yes, that was good.
And he said, how is it you do all that you do at your age? And he says, I don't let the old man in.
Amen.
And they made a song out of it. I don't let the old man in.
Amen.
But somehow or another, Joshua got stricken with age. Hallelujah. But King David possessed most of the land of the covenant promise given by God to Abraham, and that includes parts of Syria.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay, which we talked about that. I don't have time with their God. We talked about that on Friday. Just a minute. Okay, if you read Isaiah 17, you know that is a sealed message. Isaiah 17 is sealed and has never been opened. But the seals are being opened because our army is in there, and the nations, if you read it, are all rushing in there, and God says, I'm going to throw you all out. Mm-hmm. But it's being opened up. The seal is being opened up. But as I pointed out, Jesus went to Damascus. He went to Syria. Paul went to Damascus. The apostles went in there and they deposited the word of God. The Kurds are the fruit of that word. They are the Christians in Syria. They are the remnant that verse 4 speaks of. And through them, God's word is going to come to pass. And it is a serious business. We get into God's business, we'll get into Syria. But it is a sealed word. Okay, Lord help me get back on track here. All right. The first Adam lost the dominion when he sinned. However, the dominion was once again restored through Jesus, who is the second Adam. And when Jesus, the greater David, the King of Kings, came, all power and dominion has been given to him over everything. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. 2 Corinthians 10:13. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, restored the kingdom, power, and dominion to his church. God desires us to apprehend the character of Jesus. We've got to walk in his character before we can walk in his authority.
Amen. Yeah. True.
Jesus gave, last week I spoke that Jesus gave authority to his disciples over unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. However, we will not have that authority over unclean spirits if an unclean spirit has dominion over you. Mm-hmm. You have no authority.
That's right.
You have no authority. Whatever has dominion over you, you don't have the authority over it.
That's right.
I'm talking about evil spirits. That's why the church has lost much of its power and authority that God meant for us to carry. We say we want a church like the first church where they were walking in holiness.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, our whole television is turning to pornography. But you will not have dominion over what has power over you. If you have not overcome, you don't have dominion over it. Kings, priests, governors, and the church may have different spheres of influence, some smaller and some greater, based on their inheritance of the gift of grace. You will, whatever God has given you dominion over is what he's given you grace over. Their length of reign, achievements, fame, or geographical locations, I think we need to pray some more grace on Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. Kings, priests, governors, apostles with limited spheres of influence must realize they will need to work together with other kings if they want to make a greater or global impact. Where there is competition, selfish ambition, a desire for prestige, selfish positioning for influence, there will be limited spheres of influence. The crucial turning point for Israel in 1 Kings occurs in chapter 12, when following the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel was torn asunder by internal conflict and becomes two separate warring kingdoms. Where there had once been unity of vision and spirit, there existed ongoing discord and strife. What causes discord and strife in the body of Christ? Envy, mm-hmm. wanting preeminence and prominence and recognition and attention, mm-hmm. and to be lifted up. Mm-hmm. Self, flesh, carnality. Similarly, a far-reaching vision that led America's forefathers to found a nation governed by the rule of law could not prevent that nation from splintering less than 80 years later. But self-centered ideologies and a militant spirit threatened to destroy this one nation under God. Only God's mercy, righteous leadership, the prayers of the church, of individuals, and of groups who love their God and their country have helped keep America as the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's still true today. Church, it's on you. You want to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, then there has to be a nation of prayers. You are the ones that move the hands of God. You are the one that determines the destiny of this nation. You are the one who determines the success and failure of government that are over this land. It's in your prayers. Tomorrow night, I've been asked to participate in a forum of ministries from across the nation to honor the Christian heritage and legacy of another king, Martin Luther King. The liberal left and the Democratic Party is trying to redefine the legacy and mission of Dr. Martin Luther King.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
They are redefining it and claiming it for their liberal left agenda. Reverend Arthur L. Hunt Jr. is hosting an all-day Bible reading in Washington, D.C. on Monday, May the 21st. And I think June asked me if I wanted to read or if anybody wants to read. If you do, we can contact and see if they have any spaces where they need someone to read. But I'm supposed to be bringing a 15-minute sermon tomorrow night. Okay, the purpose is to define the Christian values of Dr. King. And he's calling this all day and up into the night thing a cleanse from the propaganda of the liberal left. Oh, it's happening in Washington, D.C. Dr. June Knight is hosting a forum of ministries, her and Reverend Hunt, to reaffirm the values of Christianity and the Christian values of MLK. I've been asked to share on that forum. I have some quotes from Martin Luther King. If you protest courageously and yet with dignity and Christian love, when the history books are written in future generations, the historians will have to pause and say, there lived a great people, a black people, who injected new meaning and dignity into the veins of civilization. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word.
Amen.
And you can see why the liberal left is trying to steal this and change this identity of what he stood for, because they're so anti-Christian.
Yes.
You know, his sister is preaching, and she's preaching against that all the time. Dr. King, and I'll share some of this, I suppose, if I was doing dual work, telling y'all what I'm doing, but I'll share some of this tomorrow night. Dr. King pursued his dream of a colorblind society. Now, just so you know, I'm colorblind. Don't you come to me that I'm preaching black or white, or I just didn't like Obama, so I tell you, I don't care what color he was. He's not a Christian man.
Isn't that the truth?
He was black and white.
Correct.
Yeah, he was black and white, and he was not a Christian man, so I'm colorblind.
Neither is Nancy and neither is Chuck.
Huh?
I say, and neither is Nancy and neither are Chuck.
Yeah.
Not Christian at all.
But he pursued his dream of a colorblind society through lectures and nonviolent marches and protests. Yeah. In 1963, during the march on Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial, King delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech. I look to the day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin and by the content of their character, but by the content of their character. That's what I look at when I see you. I look in the spirit realm to see where you are in God, and I don't judge that either. I just, if I can, I throw you a golden ring to help you get to the next level if you want to get there. And if you don't want to get there, I won't mess with you.
You believe we don't want to get there.
The speech articulated the hopes and aspirations of the civil rights movement as rooted in two cherished national treasures, the Holy Bible and the promise of true equality in the American Constitution. Our actions must be backed, this is another quote from Martin Luther King, our actions must be guided by the deepest principles of our Christian faith. Love must be our regulating ideal. Once again, we will hear the words of Jesus echoing across the centuries. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you.
Yes.
Yeah. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yes.
I believe Dr. Martin Luther King King's dream is fulfilled. I believe his I have a dream speech was a decree.
Yes.
And he decreed it under the authority God gave him and chose it. I believe he was chosen by God.
Yes.
To lead the civil rights movement and to do what God did and how he did it. And he decreed it from Malinga Memorial.
Ooh.
And I believe that his dream has come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe it's fulfilled in the United States of America. I'm going to say that tonight. In my world, there is no racism. There's no racism in this church.
Correct.
If you do, well, I'll probably check you. Whether it's black or white racism. Yes, I'm sure it still exists in certain areas of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know any of those people. I don't know if they know them.
Neither do I.
I don't know the people, whether black or white, who still have racial issues or judge others based on those issues. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that way. And I know the liberal left continues to try to stir strife in our nation,
yes,
trying to make race an issue.
Yes.
But again, the liberal left's not in my life either. Again, I have to deal with them because they're all over the television.
Oh.
My world that I live in, the kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the word of God and the life of Christ versus the evil works of Satan and the spirit of Antichrist, as Sandra read the scripture this morning. Race has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
I said race has nothing to do with anything in the kingdom of God.
That's right. That's right.
This is from Martin Luther King. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
Mm-hmm.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yes.
This is our hope. Mm-hmm. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
Mm-hmm.
With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, we will allow freedom to ring. We will allow freedom to ring, but we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles,
yes,
Protestants and Catholics. I can remember being young, when I was young, there was a great division between Protestants and Catholics in the United States. Will be and Jews and Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in the U.S. I didn't know those people.
Okay.
They will be able, but in the, where I grew up in Southeast Missouri, we didn't have a Catholic church until I was about 20 years old in our whole church, in our whole community, in the whole county. There was no Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
But then they built one. Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Catholic son-in-law, my daughter has joined the Catholic Church, and I have three grandchildren who are being raised in a Catholic school. I have never lived in a world where I did not feel free. Or where the sun sets free, you are free. Since the death of Dr. King in 1968, and see, I read that and I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
For whom the sun sets free, you're free indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't come up under bondage.
Yeah.
Nobody can put me under bondage. Except the bondage, I'm a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. death of Dr. King in 1968, and I was trying to go back and think where I was in 1968. It was the year that Shadow was born, I guess. So I was in a whole different world. And they were killing everybody during that time. Everybody was getting shot. The President, Kennedy, Martin Luther King, it seemed like it was, we were going through a time when if you had a view, somebody might shoot you. Christianity and our Christian values in the year 2019 have come under attack by the liberal left. Unheard of in 1968, the vice president's wife was going to do some volunteer teaching at a Christian private school, and she has come under heavy attack, being called terrible names by the liberal left. So you see how times have changed. I do not believe Dr. King would have ever come into agreement with abortion.
No.
Uh-uh. Our same-sex marriage.
No.
I heard his sister say he would have rolled over in his grave. I heard her say that.
Yes.
At the law of same-sex marriage.
She's
a cousin. Okay. I do not believe he would come into agreement with lawless riots.
No. Yeah.
Or I don't believe he would come into agreement with socialism.
Okay.
That's right.
So see, I have a message that I can deliver. I can add a little bit more to it.
That's good.
Of where I stand on this.
Yeah.
His Christian values are my Christian values.
Yeah.
And because I'm not interested in now I have to confess, I'm confessing for God and man. I have some trouble with the Muslims. I haven't got there yet where I'm loving my Muslim brothers and sisters. Because most of them want to kill me.
Yeah. I just want to point out, that's not a racial issue. That is a spiritual issue. It's not a racial issue.
And it's true. I mean, I don't care what color they are.
Right.
If they're religious.
If they're religion, that I'm going to stand against. And their way of life. It's a Sharia law.
It's ungodly. Right.
It's ungodly.
It's
spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
And the church, you're in a dead heat battle until Jesus comes again.
Yes.
You are in a battle. Your battle is with the spirit of Antichrist, wherever that is, until Jesus
Amen.
Comes again. You need to get battle ready. You need to get battle prepared. You need to get your boots on. You need to get your armor on. You need to be ready to go to battle. And all of this foolishness
that
man thinks up and argues about and has issues about and can't get all about, that has anything to do with anything besides the kingdom of God that you have been called into, and the battle against the spirit of Antichrist is just a distraction.
Jesus got rid of all of the Amalekites, the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and all of them lights, and he's going to get rid of them Jews too.
And he told us to get rid of them.
Well, they ain't living for him.
Okay. Amen. I feel the spirit's different in here. Y'all feel the spirit's different?
That's a good message.
We got to see what the spirit did. There's a weightiness here. We've got going to discern the spirit rightly. There's a weightiness here.
We need to pray for nothing.
Okay, go ahead, Joanne.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against the darkness, the bondage, the lies, the untruths of the Islamic faith. Lord, there are so many, God, even in our nation, now even in elected officials in our House of Representatives who have embraced this false teaching. Father, we come against it through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true and living God. Your word declares, every knee shall bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. We speak that scripture over all Muslims, Father, in our nation, globally. Father, and that now, while they have time, Lord, they will repent and declare that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Father, whatever ministries are reaching out to them, we ask you to strengthen and to uphold. Father, there are many who are doing humanitarian relief, Father, as an open opportunity to minister to Muslims. Father, we open the doors that you won't open. We call them open. We send forth angels of the Most High God to go into those dark places, those dark nations, the nations that appear to be closed to the gospel. We say, Lord, they are open to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, and we send forth those, Lord, who you have called and anointed to minister, Lord, through every means, Lord, person to person, radio, television, whatever. Father, that they will be reached. Open the hearts of Muslims, Father, who truly are hungry to know that there is a God who loves them, who died for them. They do not have to sacrifice and die for their God. There's the true and living God who died for them. And Father, in Jesus' name, send forth a mighty harvest for this end time, Lord, amongst the Muslim people, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have spoken strong words.
Yes.
I have spoken strong words. And strong words concerning presidents of nations. So I stand before God, and I stand before this assembly, that the strong words that I have spoken be judged by the court of heaven.